Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're listening to the next generation of KGO810, live around the world, live and local in the Bay, and at KGORadio.com, and right now, a special podcast from my house. I'm a little loopy, so this is Sedated Drex. I had an endoscopy today. I don't know if you recall, but I had surgery last year, and so they had to scope me today. So if I sound a little woozy, a little loopy than usual, well, that's because I am. Let's start with last night. The good news about having all these procedures done is I got to see the Warriors beat the Grizzlies, setting the new record.
Final second period, Oracle Arena. It's official number 73. The greatest regular season in NBA history now belongs to the 2016 Golden State Warriors.
I mean, to actually sit and get to watch it in my own living room was amazing. So the Golden State Warriors cruised to an easy win. And I mean, it never even looked like Memphis was in the game last night, and giving the Warriors their 73rd win on the season. And that's an NBA record. It beats Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, who went 72-10 in 95 and 96. And this is a great story because, you know, the Bulls were actually stopped by Steph Curry's father from winning the 73rd game. So, hey, life comes full circle. This is a record that a lot of people thought would never be broken, but it's starting to look like it's a real possibility when this year's Warriors started 24-0 and they won last night 125-104 and finished the season 73-9. By the way, Steph Curry had 46 points and made 10 of his 19 three-point attempts. Once again, he was the star. But, the whole team, Klay Thompson, I mean, he was throwing down like 16 points. Draymond Green thanked everybody. It was so funny after the game. Draymond Green wanted the ball. It's like, no one's touching this basketball. It belongs to me.
On behalf of this entire organization, these 14 other guys, with myself, 15, coaching staff, everybody in our organization, we want to thank y'all, because at the end of the day, the support night in and night out that y'all bring to this arena is incredible. To win 39 games at home is incredible. And it's impossible to achieve this without winning all those home games. So I want to thank God, most importantly, but thank y'all fans for everything that y'all do for us. Now let's go get this championship.
Go Dubs! So bring on the playoffs, and the playoffs begin this Monday night, actually Sunday night, and also Monday night on KGO810. So I'll be bumped once again, but I'll be doing another podcast, having fun watching the game. By the way, when we're talking about basketball, Kobe Bryant was last night was his final game, and it was fun to watch that, the intro to the game. I mean, the Lakers are going nowhere this year. But Jack Nicholson, is a legendary fan. So for Kobe Bryant's last game, they got him to record a farewell message as part of the tribute to Kobe last night. Here he is.
Kobe, goodbye. I think I may retire with you. I'm not sure. But it's been great watching you, and I hope you enjoy it half as much as me and my family have. You've been an inspiration to us all, and L.A. loves you.
And it's still kind of creepy. Here's Johnny. Just saying. Kobe Bryant did talk to the crowd after his last game.
Man! Guys, you know, it's, I can't believe how fast 20 years went by. I mean, this is crazy. You know, I grew up a diehard, Laker fan. Diehard. So, to be drafted and then traded to this organization and to spend 20 years here, I mean, you can't write something better than this.
Kobe had his ups and downs, but nonetheless, he did score 60 points on a career-high 50 shots to pull off a huge win from behind the Utah Jazz last night, and the Lakers came from 15 points back to win 101-96, and you know, it was a cool thing, so congratulations to Kobe Bryant, but especially to the Warriors. Off to the playoffs we go once again. So let's take a look at see what's to go. I'm going to take a look here and see what's going down here today specifically. Now, I'm playing with my own computer, so bear with me for a second here. And away we go. So let's talk about some things that are going on here today. I'm going to look at my notes. We talked about Kobe Bryant and the Golden State Warriors. And now let's talk about J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez. Now, Jennifer Lopez forever was with Mark Anthony. And this is fun. I mean, she said she knew her marriage to Mark Anthony was bad from the get-go, but she stuck it out anyway. And I don't know why people do this, but apparently she's one of them. She told W Magazine that she said, "I hung in there for 7 years. I knew very quickly that it was not the right thing." She also said that keeping things cool with Mark for the sake of the kids is, quote, the hardest work I've ever had to do. Jennifer calls herself a relationship kind of girl, which is probably why she's still with Casper, buying him, slick whips constantly. Anyway, back to the quote here, "I still think about getting married and having that lifelong, love with someone. I love the movie The Notebook. A dream of mine is to grow old with someone." Well, but the funny, weird thing about that is, like, where's Casper in that comment? He's not there. Here's something fun that I want to play you. So this is a big deal. There's a lawsuit that's going on, and I do believe that this happened before. And this is about Stairway to Heaven, one of the most monumental rock songs of all times. It's got to be, a lot of people would say the most overplayed song on classic rock radio, but I did classic rock radio for a long time, and I never got tired of it. 7 minutes and 53 seconds was always a good time to slip away and be a naughty, naughty boy. But anyway, so next month, a jury is going to decide whether the song's opening was stolen from another band. And again, I recall this going on years ago, and I don't know if they're trying again or what their deal is, but nonetheless, they're going for it. A federal judge in L.A. ruled that it will be up to the jurors to determine whether the song stole elements of Taurus, which is a track from the band called Spirit. If you remember them, I barely do. Anyway, the district judge for the United States wrote the decision Friday, and said that the four-chord backbone shared by the songs was a common convention that abounds in the music industry, but the similarities here transcend this core structure. So I'm going to play them both to you. Now, this is a little weird, so I hate to say this because I'm such a Led Zeppelin fan, but I really think there's something going on here, okay? First, let's hear Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. Now, keep that in your mind. Now, check out Spirits. This is called, they called their song Taurus. And you tell me if this sounds like the intro to Stairway to Heaven. like a stairway to a paycheck to me, a really big one. Me think so, right? I'm just saying it's so damn close. And boy, if you think about this, this goes back to the 70s. I'm not sure, like 72, I do believe. It just seems like the exact same thing. Here's Thomas. Here's Led Zeppelin. Now, if you remember, Robin Thicke and Pharrell lost to Marvin Gaye's family, forgot to give it up with Blurred Lines, and that cost them tens of millions of dollars. So here we go. You know, in the days when you got people like Hulk Hogan winning $140 for a sex tape, that I think was a bunch of BS. It's got to make you scratch your head and say, oh boy, these guys are in for a ride. Now, of course, they got lots of bank, but what kind of bank? I don't know anymore. I mean, they're still touring. Led Zeppelin, one of the greatest rock bands of all time. Okay, so let's continue on. We'll see what happens with that. Let's talk about Ted Cruz for a while, for just a little bit. A naughty boy he was. So I love this story because I'm not a fan of his. So apparently, allegedly, when Ted Cruz was Solicitor General for Texas from 2003 to 2008, he fought the good fight. And by that, I mean that he fought to uphold a law that made the sale of sex toys illegal. Now, a legal brief prepared by his office said, quote, there is no due process right to stimulate one's genitalia for non-medical purposes unrelated to procreation or outside the interpersonal relationship. In other words, no touchy selfie. But he lost that battle. Well, here comes the good part. So when Ted's college roommates found out about this, they had something to say about Ted's supposed opposition to self-love, masturbation. He tweeted, quote, Ted Cruz thinks people don't have a right to stimulate their genitals. Well, I was his college roommate, and this would be a new belief of his. And now that I've placed that, imagine that in your mind, I take a bow back and slowly back out of the room. You're welcome, so say the guys. Yikes. It's kind of creepy, isn't it? More showbiz sexy. Drew Barrymore, pregnant out of wedlock? Maybe. Announced last week that she and her husband, Will Copeland, I guess it's a Koppelman. I don't know who this guy is. Anyway, are getting divorced after 3 years of marriage, and now the star says she will, she could be up to 6 months pregnant. But Will is not the father. He is not the father. Supposedly, Jill and Will haven't had sex for over a year, so it's going to be somebody else's, but there's no word whose. Who doesn't love Drew Barrymore? Come on. Rep says it's not true, but meanwhile, the New York Post says Drew read a chapter from her 2015 book Wildflower at a charity event the other day, and she skipped all the parts that mentioned Will. So, something's going on. Something's fishy. Speaking of fishy, let's talk about porn for a second. I know that's nasty, but this is a podcast, so I can get away with it. Hold on a second. Drinky drink. Okay, porn actors having trouble keeping it up with VR cameras strapped on. Well, you know, we've been talking on the show live on KGOA 10 for a long time now about how strange it's going to be and how much fun it's going to be with virtual reality. Can't wait for the, you know, VR porn. And just like porn drove the video industry, it's definitely going to drive the virtual reality industry big time. And, I mean, this is how technology usually advances by leaps and bounds. People don't want to admit it, but it is pornography. So one of the problems that's going on here is the porn actors are having trouble keeping it up with the VR cameras strapped on. I don't know exactly how this works, but the story seems to tell me that it's really weird. And here's how it goes. If having a guy in a mesh vest and a bum bag holding a boom isn't enough to turn you off, and yeah, I like to imagine the porn industry, you know, still looks like boogie nights, I guess. But actors are now facing a new mood killer, the multi-camera virtual reality rigs. During a Reddit AMA, Pornhub employees were asked whether the adult film actors have to wear awkward equipment while they perform, and they said, yeah, they do. Yes, and it's a problem. I've heard that male talent has a lot of trouble keeping it up with such heavy gear on their chest. Oftentimes the scenes have to be filmed over and over and over again. So I don't know exactly how this works, but apparently, you know, the porn actors themselves have to wear these huge cameras or some kind of processing equipment. And the story goes on to say, given mankind's propensity for and to immediately try to harness new technologies for sex, porno is one of the first industries, as I mentioned. VR has made it huge and will make its biggest impact, largely due to the point of view angles it offers, but others aren't far behind. You know, they want to say that it's going to play a huge part of the future of adult gaming, which it will, but it's going to be a long time before it replaces the ease of loading a video into a basic player or a disc into... Well, who does that anyway? I mean, you just hit stream. It's estimated that VR headsets are going to generate almost $1 billion in revenue this year, up to $895 million in revenue this year is set to be made from the people at Oculus Rift, HTC Vive, and Sony PlayStation VR. They're all starting to gain a lot of traction. And so far, the technology is mostly, if you go to the electronics show in Vegas, it's basically for promotional purposes, and they keep using the movie Interstellar, for instance, which I hear is just amazing, incredible. I mean, you're stepping inside Interstellar. But upcoming projects are on the way. VR is taking center stage at Tribeca this year. And two showcases premiering 13 virtual reality films will be on the set. So VR and porn right around the corner for you, you naughty boys and girls. Okay, let me roll through and see what fun stuff that we've got for today audio-wise. I'm looking. Again, if you're just joining me, I'm podcasting from home, because I had to be put under today to be scoped at the hospital, which is kind of weird. I mean, every time, now I've been knocked out, I guess this is like the fourth time, take five deep breaths, count to five. I only remember getting to two, and it was the strangest thing today. When I woke up, I thought we were having an earthquake. I said to the nurse, we're having an earthquake. No, Drex, we're not having an earthquake. We're having an earthquake. No, we're not having an earthquake. I don't know. I get a lot loopy when I'm under. Okay, here's Donald Trump. So you have to know this. Donald Trump was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania yesterday. Obviously, the primary around the corner next Tuesday. And Joe Paterno is like God in Pennsylvania, Penn State. My God, he was the coach for 100 years before he passed away. And pep rally in Pittsburgh yesterday, Donald Trump asked about bringing back Penn State coach Joe Paterno. He's dead. He's been dead for 4 years.
I know a lot about Pennsylvania, and it's great. How's Joe Paterno? Are we going to bring that back?
I would hope that he's talking about the statue that they removed from Beaver Stadium after the whole Sandusky sex scandal, but who knows with the Donald. Pardon me for continuing to drinky drink. I'm parched. You're going to love this. So no one can behave on airplanes. One of the things they're talking about is the TSA is so far behind, and air travel is just through the roof this summer. And you know, because of the cheap fuel prices, the tickets are pretty much discounted. They're about as low as they're going to go and as low as they've been in years. So more people are traveling than ever. So, by the way, before I even start talking about this story and this person being an ass on the airplane, which is no surprise, do be warned that when they tell you to get there an hour and a half or 2 hours before your flight, they're not kidding. Some airports are reporting lines as long, I think they were talking about Seattle's airport. Sometimes people are waiting 3 hours in line to get through the freaking TSA line. which is asinine. I mean, you know, they were, I saw last night, I was watching the news, and they actually have 32 lanes, but they only had 19 open because they're understaffed. They say that they keep hiring 200 new people every single week, but, you know, they're not keeping up. So now they're back to hiring private security agencies to screen people with dogs, yes, with dogs first, and then I suppose if they think you don't have an explosive, then they send you through an express TSA line. So stand by for that to be coming to a San Jose, Oakland, or San Francisco International Airport near you. So to this ass, it's a JetBlue story. So a JetBlue flight had to go back to the gate last week because a guy kept bragging about the fact how he was a millionaire and he was a genius. It happened Friday in Long Beach, obviously in California. The guy was arguing with another passenger and apparently made these claims. He called the other guy a loser, talked about how rich and how smart he is. It's a little hard to understand, but you'll get the rift.
Okay, look at yourself, sir. Mr. Ball can't grow a set of hair.
I
make $4 million a year.
What do you do?
Shut the
f***. You're right. I'm a loser. I own 6 houses. I'm a group leader. I do not sign any disclaimer for this to be released, so I will be filing a lawsuit. 2020 vision with the 176 IQ.
I apologize, everybody, for that behavior.
Yay. I'm 28 and I'm worth $4 million. Then what the hell are you doing on a JetBlue flight? That's what I'm thinking. The guy's name, as it turns out, is David Brackett. He's 28 years old, and he's gotten hundreds of threatening emails since this video has gone viral. So he did have to do a news interview and apologize for the entire incident. Let's take a listen to this fine.
I'm standing up for my mistakes. I'm not blaming anybody but myself for the actions that I did. The PTSD thing that I do have, it's the first time it's happened where I've had to do something that I regret. I lost it. My mind just, I heard bomb in my head, and I did what I did. Yeah, I don't feel safe anymore.
Okay. We were talking about Jennifer Lopez a little while ago, and we're going to go back to that story for a second because she does a dramatic reading of Baby Got Back, and she's got a lot of back. Now, obviously, she doesn't have Mark Anthony's back, as we were talking earlier. She never liked him from the get-go, but she stuck through it for a while for the kids, still looking for that love of her life. She wants to play out The Notebook in her head, in her real life. But she doesn't mention that she wants to do it with Casper. I don't know what the hell's gone on, people. So I'm glad I'm a little loopy today. Here, let's listen to J. Lo do a little dramatic reading of Baby Got Back.
To the beanpole dames in the magazines, you ain't a thing, Miss Thing. Give me a sister, I can't resist her. Red beans and rice didn't miss her. Some knucklehead tried to diss, 'cause his girls are on my list. He had game, but he chose to hit him, and I pull up quick to get with him. So ladies, if the butt is round and you want a triple X throwdown, dial 1-900 Mix-a-Lot and kick them nasty thoughts.
Baby Got Back. I will say this. She's got hot a lot. That's for sure. Baby Got Back and she's got hot a lot because I saw the pictures for W Magazine and she looks amazing, amazingly beautiful. She does, like, I do believe, four different images, four different eras, four different looks, and they're all completely different and they're good. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Very good. Okay, here, let's go to Ellen. Ellen DeGeneres. Thanks to Donald Trump, there's a decent chance that we could end up with a celebrity president. But according to a new online survey, there are 72 celebrities we'd rather see in the White House. The ongoing poll is open at ranker.com. And last time we checked, it looks like Ellen DeGeneres is number one. Yes, we would like Ellen DeGeneres to be our president, number one in the country. And she talked about it on her show.
This poll came out on a website called ranker.com. I don't know if you've heard of this. I hadn't. There's a ranking of 50 celebrities people think should run for president. I have been voted number one. Thank you, and not interested. Thank you. That sounds like the worst job in the world to me. It's a very sweet thought, but here's the poll. Let me show you. I am number one, of course, Samuel L. Jackson. Obvious number two choice. I don't know who's voting, but I assume people who like to dance but don't like snakes on their mother bleeping plane. I looked at the whole list, and boy, I don't want to talk about who I beat, but let me tell you who I beat. Oprah is number nine. I know. You know what? Look, she doesn't want it anyway. She'd have to move into a smaller house.
Good stuff. Speaking of celebrities, I know, testified before Congress yesterday on how to stop terrorists like ISIS. And here's his suggestion. His suggestions were basically send them comedians, specifically Amy Schumer, Chris Rock, and Sacha Baron Cohen. Apparently, he was there because he was hearing, I don't know, he was using foreign humanitarian aid to stop violent extremism. And Bono is the co-founder of one of the campaigns, actually the One campaign, it's actually called that, which is about fighting poverty. He's been to a few different countries recently to visit the refugee camps. You gotta love Bono. Let's take a
look. I think comedy should be deployed because the first people that that Adolf Hitler threw out of Germany were the Dadaists and the Surrealists. It's like you speak violence, you speak their language, but you laugh at them when they're goose-stepping down the street, and it takes away their power. So I'm suggesting that the Senate send in Amy Schumer and Chris Rock and Sacha Baron Cohen. Thank you.
And there you have it. That comedy over bombs. That might be a good idea. Okay, here's something fun for you. If you want to lose weight, you need to chew louder.
That's right.
This is the thing, people. Just giving you a direct example.
The new study says you can eat 30% fewer calories if you chew loudly. That's the idea.
Yeah, that is the idea. If you're more aware of yourself when you eat, you'll eat less. This was actually conducted by researchers at BYU in Colorado State. They had participants wear headphones while they ate a bowl of pretzels, and they played white noise into their headphones with the group, and they found that the group that listened to the louder white noise ate 45% more pretzels. So, you know, they couldn't hear themselves eating, right? So the researchers concluded that they ate more because they couldn't hear themselves crunching as loudly as the other group could. So obviously, you know. Crank up the arrogant chopping and eat with your mouth open. Or not. Don't know about that. Okay, let's get back to the scuttlebutt. And away we go on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. And this is a Drex podcast. Let's see. Well, let's talk about Sharknado. The people behind Sharknado movies are working on another insane TV movie. It's called Elvis Lives. I got to run this by Tim Seeker. The premiere is, it's not going to be out until the end of the year, but actually, This whole thing, I guess the premise that they're working with is that Elvis did not die in 77. He just began another career as a crime fighter. Now, the description of the movie is pretty vague. It says here, Elvis hits rock bottom. He's losing his voice. He's addicted to drugs. And now he wants to get his life back on track. But before he can, he somehow helps the cops bring down a powerful crime syndicate, putting his family in danger and sending him on a journey that will forever change his life. They're calling it a conspiracy thriller, but obviously it's a total joke. The studio says, quote, "With Elvis Lives, we intend to do for his life and the life of Elvis what Sharknado did for Flying Sharks." It'll be on Access TV, and as I said, the premiere date should be towards the end of the year. It'll be announced. Don't worry, we'll let you know. It's the strangest thing. I was just a kid when Elvis died, but forever, it's like that Tupac thing. You know, I remember that going on for like a decade as a kid. My parents, everybody, they just didn't believe that Elvis was dead. He's dead, just like Tupac. He's not here. Okay, let's see what else we've got here. In the garbage department of the Drex Radio Show podcast series, let's talk about some stupid news. Well, I'm sure we've got it. Let me see. Oh, researchers found 6 steps for the perfect apology. Well, this is good because I think most of us hate apologizing, even when we're wrong. Not on this show, but mainly we'd like to think we're never wrong. But for the rest of you who actually do make mistakes, let's see here. Researchers, Ohio State, are here to hook you up. They studied 750 people and they checked them out as to how these 750 people reacted to different types of apologies and found 6 steps that you need to follow for the perfect apology. Let me see here. Number 6, ask for forgiveness. Number 5, offer up a way to fix the problem you caused. That's better than begging, I guess. Repent for what you did. Well, I think that's the same as number 6. Number 3, admit that it was your fault. Oh, that's always a good one. Number 2, explain and acknowledge what went wrong. Good luck with that. And then number 1 is, of course, what you really should do is just genuinely say you're sorry. And now you know. And let's see. Oh, we have more stupid news. This is a good one. Which decade had the worst decor? Now, you can go ahead and guess, and you're probably going to be right. So let's take a look back. We're going in the Wayback Machine. Hang on. Here we go. Let's start with, well, we'll see, because I think this is going to change. We'll start with number 6. They say the 90s because of the splatter paint and the teal. And I think that that's going to move up as time goes on. Because if you look at any developed houses that were built, you know, remember sponge painting in the 90s where people were sponging their walls? That is such a 90s thing. I mean, and now you look at it and it's just like it's cringeworthy. Okay, the 50s because of the linoleum and the vinyl. I don't know. I think that's kind of retro now. The 2000s. Because of the sterile white and gray colors and stainless steel everywhere. Yeah, you know, if you watch HGTV, and I do a lot, Property Brothers or The Fixer Upper, Fixer Upper, it seems like every house she puts farm sinks in there, and I keep thinking to myself, man, oh man, is this stuff ever going to look so 2016 in 10 years? Okay, let me see. Number three is the 60s. A lot of people hate it because of the shag carpeting and way too much of the color brown. Well, the shag carpeting was kind of cool, I thought, but it's a real bitch to keep clean. The 80s. A lot of people say it was the worst because of the neon and random use of zigzag designs. And here we go. But I'm telling you, I think this is retro. Which decade had the worst decor? The 70s. Yes, most people say it is indeed the worst, thanks to pea green furniture and mirrors on the ceiling. Yeah, we're getting your shaggy on. Hey, baby. Would you date a vegetarian? Doesn't matter. They won't date you. Check this out. Approximately 94% of in a relationship is figuring out, you know, what you're going to eat. So it probably makes sense that you should have, some basic philosophy working on the food that's going to make it work for you and the other person, I suppose, I guess. On that note, would you date a vegetarian? Never mind, because it doesn't matter because they wouldn't date you. According to this new survey, they ask vegans and if they date someone who eats meat, and believe it or not, the majority, almost 60%, said they would do it. Meat eaters are much more open to dating someone who's vegan or vegetarian. Only 25% of them said that they would have a problem with that. They also found that 27% of vegans and vegetarians have ended a relationship because the other person ate meat. Well, that's a lot of silliness now, isn't it? Speaking of silliness, An American holds the TV binge-watching record again. We might rank 35th in math, but America still knows how to watch a buttload of television. 25-year-old dude in Brooklyn named A.J., oh, let's see here, Fragoso, just set a new world record by binge-watching television for 94 straight hours, or just under 4 days. Why would you do this? He started last Friday, finished Tuesday, and watched a lot of Game of Thrones and Battlestar Galactica. Oh, my God. Talk about Nerdville. And he said, and he says it was awful. Well, good for him. You only got a 5-minute break once an hour to use the bathroom. Other than that, you have to stare at the TV and you can't look away. The previous record was 92 hours, and that was set just last month by five people in Austria. The last time an American held the record was 2014, when three guys in Vegas binged watched for 87 hours. No, thank you. Okay. I think that's going to do it with enough stupidity for today. And we will make more on Monday's podcast when the Warriors hit the boards again for another win, and we begin the playoffs and on our way to the trophy again and being the world champions. Yes, go Dub Nation. This has been the Drex Radio Show and the next generation of KGO, a live podcast, as live as podcast can get, from KGO 810.